How many of us imagined 6 months ago that we would be in lockdown now? Did you anticipate that schools would be shut to most children for so long? What about the closure of shops? What about people working from home? Did you anticipate that churches would have to go online? Will we ever be able to go on holiday like we used to in the past? Will we be able to meet up again in large groups? Will schools ever go back to the way they were before? Will we ever be able to do the lunch club again? And here is a question that the Apostle Paul pondered that we may also ask. Do we know how much longer we will live in our present body? How much longer will you have to serve Christ here on earth? And of course, we do not know the answer. And believers in Jesus down the centuries have not known. No one ever knows. And that makes today's passage from Philippians relevant to all believers in every generation. It is as much for us today as it was for the church in Philippi when Paul first wrote the letter. We are looking today at Philippians chapter 1, verse 27, and going through to chapter 2 and verse 11. And Paul starts this section of the letter with the words, "Whatever happens." You see, no one knows what is going to happen. And so Paul says, "Whatever happens, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ." Let's read our passage and then we can talk some more about it. And to help us, I've come up with four headings that we can look at as we move through the passage. Heading number one, as we've already said, whatever happens. Section two, be united. Heading number three, be like Jesus. And finally, heading number four, Jesus is Lord. Philippians chapter 1, starting at verse 27, Paul says to us, "Whatever happens, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. Then, whether I come and see you or only hear about you in my absence, I will know that you stand firm in the one spirit, striving together as one for the faith of the gospel, without being frightened in any way by those who oppose you. This is a sign to them that they will be destroyed, but that you will be saved, and that from God. For it has been granted to you on behalf of Christ, not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for him, since you are going through the same struggle you saw I had, and now hear that I still have." And now we move into chapter 2. "Therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from being in his love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and of one mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Amen. So let's have a look at our first point. Whatever happens, inspired by verses 27 to 30. You see, whenever we are faced with rules, guidelines, or advice in life, it is tempting to assume that they apply to everyone else apart from me, that they apply to every generation or era in history apart from the present time, that they apply in every situation apart from the one I am facing right now. But the Apostle Paul says, whatever happens, that is, whoever you are, whenever you are, whatever you are facing, wherever you are, whatever happens, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. And then, whether I come and see you or only hear about you in my absence, I will know that you stand firm in the one Spirit, striving together as one for the faith of the gospel, without being frightened in any way by those who oppose you. Paul did not know if or when he would be able to travel freely again. And we don't know either. And he would say to us, we don't know what is about to happen next, so conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. And what's important is that the way we behave is a form of communication. Please look at verses 28 to 30, where he says, this is a sign to them that they will be destroyed, but that you will be saved, and that by God. For it has been granted to you on behalf of Christ not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for him, since you are going through the same struggle you saw I had, and now hear that I still have. It really matters that we conduct ourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ, because the world will take notice. Let us now move on to our second point, be united. And this is inspired by chapter 2, verses 1 to 4. If we are going to conduct ourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ, as we have just said, then it is really important that we remain united. And in just four verses, these verses here, 1 to 4, Paul uses the following words and phrases to get his message across. United, common sharing, like-minded, one in spirit, of one mind, nothing out of selfish ambition, no vain conceit. Value others above yourselves. No self-interest, but the interest of others. If we are going to conduct ourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ, it is really important that we remain united. Paul says, therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and of one mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, rather in humility value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of the others. Do you remember what we said last week? That in this short letter, Paul mentions 16 times the word joy, gladness, or rejoicing. And what is he saying in this passage will make his joy complete? He says that his joy will be complete when the believers are like-minded, have the same love, are one in spirit, are of one mind, when they do not do anything out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, when they are humble, when they value others above themselves, when they are not looking out to their own interests, and when they are concerned about the interests of others. Let's now move on to our third point. Be like Jesus. And this is inspired from chapter 2, verses 5 to 8. Be like Jesus. And what was Jesus like when he was on earth? Jesus was so humble. Think about it, my friends. God, the creator of the universe, became a man and lived as a man and suffered as a man and died as a man. Jesus did not come to be served, but to serve and to give up his life as a ransom for anyone who believes in him. And we are told that in our relationship with each other, we must have the same mindset as Christ Jesus. I wonder, have you done a CV recently? When people do their CV, they think in terms of their skill set, the things that they can do. But in this passage today, we are not being called here to have a skill set, but a mindset. which is, of course, something so much deeper. It's not just about the things that we can do. It is about the way that we are in our minds. And what is the mindset of Christ that we are being called to adopt? It is the mindset of a servant, and not just any old servant, but one who voluntarily chooses to serve. Because it says in our passage today that Jesus, even though he was in very nature God, he did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. And you will remember when Jesus was being tempted in the wilderness. He was 100% God and 100% man. But he did not use the fact of being 100% God to his own advantage. Instead, he chose to do the will of his Father. He did not use the fact that he was God to his own advantage. Rather, as we can see throughout the Gospels, he made himself nothing. He took on the very nature of a servant. He took on human likeness. He looked like a man. He humbled himself. He was obedient to death. That is, even death on a cross. But he did not stay on the cross forever. And he did not stay dead. Which leads us onto our fourth and final point. Jesus is Lord. Jesus conquered death and darkness, and God exalted him to glory. And verses 9 to 11 tell us, therefore God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Jesus is Lord. This is our point number four. Jesus is Lord. And points 1 to 3 don't make sense and would not be attainable if it was not for point number 4. Let's just recap for a moment. Point number 1, whatever happens, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. Point number 2, be united with your brothers and sisters in Christ. Point number 3, be like Jesus as he was here on earth. Be humble with the mindset of a servant. And all because of point number 4. Because Jesus is Lord. Amen. Shall I say it again? Jesus is Lord. Amen.